The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm George Chen.
And I'm Pak Romain.
And you're listening to SubDoc. This is a show where we talk to interesting people with strong opinions about their favorite documentaries.
And on today's episode, we discuss the 2016 documentary Wiener, directed by Josh Kriegman and Elise Steinberg. Wiener is a cringeworthy documentary that is simultaneously funny and absurd.
Its subject is Anthony Wiener, former congressman, serial dick pic sender, and failed New York City mayoral candidate.
And our guest is the writer and comedian Megan Keister.
We are staring at the VHS collection of Megan Keister. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having Megan. Us in your apartment.
I should know. It's not my copy of
Singles.
Okay.
Not your copy of Singles.
It's my friend Little Mama's copy of Singles. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
And you only have...
Little Mama, Allison Stevenson.
You have one VHS tape.
I have more in that cabinet, but let's not make a federal case.
Look, there's this is a media collector's household, I can tell.
Yeah.
A lot of hard copies of things exist.
Right. And I mean, owning things, you know,
it's so expresses it's your so 90s. Oh, God. Things, objects. Not just digital
wallpaper.
I collected
TV guides when I was a kid.
Isn't like, that kind of went weird? Out of your way or just collected the ones that showed up at your house?
Yeah, that part.
You know,
when we were talking to Brett.
You let him come to you.
Yeah.
Brett Berg was talking about buying old TV guides. Was that on mic when he was talking
about
that?
I don't remember that being on mic.
He was telling me that. Do you know Brett Berg from Alamo Drafthouse? Because he's like, he would get old TV guides that were just LA specific because there's all this weird specific LA programming. And it'd be like, oh, a Saturday afternoon. And it'd be like,
oh, the ones that came in the paper, you mean?
No, just like, I guess they used to do regional ones. So it would be like different.
Oh, I see.
Different. I remember a TV guide, sort of. I never had it. You were a baller if you had TV guide back then.
I had a lot of them because I enjoyed them. I liked reading the descriptions, and I really enjoyed it when they had MASH on the cover too. So
God, I never have. I still don't think I like MASH.
Oh,
MASH the TV show.
Yeah,
right.
It was over my head.
Oh yeah,
it was on all the time. I'm
it
like,
was
what
on...
more is this? Yeah. I don't understand.
What are
What's
they
happening?
Doing?
And people are like, oh, MASH is really good. I'm like, what? And like, oh, the Robert Altman movie is really good. I'm like,
yeah,
okay, that's
yeah, I mean,
different.
I'm on board with the idea of suicide being painless, but other than that,
that song.
And also, I would let Alan Alda eat me out, but,
dude. Right?
Still, you know what I mean?
I love Alan Alda.
Who doesn't?
Alan Alda in Horace and Pete eating you out, yes or no?
Oh.
Alan Alda is arguably Hollywood's first cuck. Can we discuss that?
Okay, yeah. Like he is like the kind of guy that would let you fuck his wife?
No, I just mean in the modern iteration of cuck, people, you know, cyberbullying each other online and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like he's a man who has empathy, therefore he is a cuck.
Yeah, he is a soft. He is
soft.
Soft masculine.
He is like the poster boy of what the Republicans have always hated about Democrats and liberals, like liberal bleeding heart, crying at a dog commercial, little fuck boy kind of shit. Yeah,
exactly.
Fuck boys, I guess, are kind of like cucks, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love Alan Alda. I don't care. When I was a kid, I dressed up as him at Halloween.
Welcome to What's Up, Alan Alda?
Yeah.
The podcast that is
I love Alan.
Only
Finally.
Dedicated to.
That would be a podcast I would actually listen to.
Megan's new podcast.
We should, because we have a view, love of Alan Alda. We should talk about them.
Extensively.
And we could do next time, same time next year, we could talk about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great Alan Alda movie. Crimes and Misdemeanors, we're talking about that a little earlier.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just Horace and Pete fan fiction. And
yeah. And what's the one where he was George Plimpton? What's the Paper Tiger? Was it Paper Tiger?
I didn't know. There's a movie. Is it all about George Plimpton?
Yeah, he plays George Plimpton because George Plimpton was with the Detroit Lions football team as a journalist and tried out, and it was about his time.
George Plimpton has like kind of the ultimate life, right? Like
does
everything
he?
Is. He's done so much interesting stuff.
Yeah, he's like Garrison Keillor if Garrison Keillor was a human being.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense.
Have you listened to the new Lake Wobegon?
No.
No, is there a new guy?
Yeah, there's a new guy.
Oh. Speaking of Altman,
And speaking of new guys,
speaking of woes, hello,
because we are covering Wiener and this doc.
That still sounds wrong the way you say it. We're covering Wiener. We are,
cover
we're
your
be talking
Wiener.
Talking about this just came out. It's on. Is it Showtime?
It's on Showtime now. Yeah,
but I think they were going to add a bunch of postscripts to Wiener because a bunch of stuff has happened since this.
Oh, like what? What do you mean?
What could they possibly? I think he got a new apartment.
Oh, great!
I think they're going to cover his New York time, his New York apartment. Yeah. So this came out in 2016. Josh Krugman, Elise Steinberg, some nice Jewish people made the movie about Wiener. Wiener, this guy.
Yeah. This fucking guy.
That's,
I mean, I think that's the end of the podcast, 45
minutes of this fucking guy.
It's just
get a load of this load.
Where do you start? Like, Megan, what is wrong with Wiener?
What is wrong with him?
Yeah, what's wrong? What has he got? What's wrong with him?
I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with him. He just has an addiction that he's unable to control, much the same way people have lots of other addictions to other things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make them less of a person.
Good point.
Although, I mean, most people's addictions don't involve phone fucking a 15-year-old,
that is true. But
you know, everybody makes mistakes. That's why there's erasers on pencils, right?
You got that right. How many mistakes do you get, though? Like,
in public life?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I mean, if he wasn't like a disgraced mayoral candidate and congressperson, this probably wouldn't warrant very much attention. But he's also married at the time of this was made to Huma Abedin, who is like the second hand, the right hand person
to
Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And was very, very integral to the campaign. And so that's also news. And there has been, it's hard to look for information about Huma Abedin and not just see terrible right wing things like, she's crying in the street. Look at her. Ha ha. She's crying. I'm like, yeah, you'd be crying too if this all happened to you, probably. Right. But. I come through this feeling feeling some sympathy for her, I think.
Well, how could you not? I mean, she's just such a stoic character.
Yeah, and she's just like, it's all constant, people are comparing this to The Office, like every time, like, Jim Halpert looks at the camera, it's a lot of, like, Huma being like, I can't believe this shit either.
Right.
Yeah. And I am in the middle of it.
That's pretty funny.
So, yeah, that's the other reason why there needs to be postscripts to this, because if you're listening,
you're listening in the terrifying dystopian future.
Yeah, we're all in the future now. We're on the same future now, because we have a couple episodes coming out where we were in the past and everything was just cute.
Mm-hmm.
And
if we would have recorded this in the past, this would have been entirely different.
We would have been so lively and having so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know. I mean, granted, a man's life was destroyed, but that didn't really have any bearing on all of our lives being destroyed until it fucking did.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean?
Where we are now.
Right.
People are up to speed on the fact that the FBI director,
Comey,
didn't reopen the investigation into Hillary Clinton because it was didn't have to, but he came out and said there was more emails that were on Anthony Weiner's cell phone.
Yeah.
Right.
And those.
Because he was under investigation for the 15-year-old stuff.
Mm. And they wanted to make sure there wasn't any security clearance problems. And as it turns out, they were just duplicate emails. And oops, Hillary loses the election.
Right.
I mean, once again, Anthony Weiner makes his way back into politics, our lives, and discussions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at that stuff.
Well, I mean, but God damn it. There's a difference between not becoming the mayor of New York City, granted, the largest city in America,
yeah,
and having by proxy, you fuck up. I mean, I guess, yeah, America's the greatest empire in the world, so therefore the world.
Yeah.
I had my eyes closed when I said greatest because I don't believe it. But.
You didn't want blood to shoot out of them.
There were, right. There were quotation marks around that.
Heavy.
So yeah. When the
large, yeah.
When the doc first starts, we see the good old Anthony Weiner. Basically, well, it starts with a Marshall McLuhan quote. Uh-huh. Basically say a man's name will come back to fuck you up, essentially, if I may paraphrase. But then we see the good old
days. As much as any Marshall McLuhan. I've never read any Marshall McLuhan. Yeah. So I think that's all I know now about Marshall McLuhan.
You know nothing of my work. That's a little Woody Allen.
Oh, yeah. That's a Woody Allen drop, yeah.
That's all I'm going to do this entire thing, this entire fucking conversation.
Woody drops.
Woody drops, deep cut, Woody drop. But so we
Woody Allen, mixtape.
We see the good old days of, and you guys remember when music. That, Megan, do you remember when that clip first came out when Anthony Weiner was yelling at people in Congress?
Oh, I don't actually remember. That was the first time I'd seen
it. Yeah, I didn't remember that either at all. That's what made him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's already been a congressman for quite a while at that point.
He was a seven-term congressman from New York, but that's really what put him on. For people who watch C-SPAN, most people knew Anthony Weiner, but that's what put him in the public eye was that, because nobody at that time, you have to remember, nobody was taken, the Democrats had been castrated by the Republicans. And it was that time when like two or three people started speaking out. Keith Olbermann on his show on MSNBC was like, fuck this guy.
Right.
And then Anthony Weiner started yelling at Republicans on the House floor, and people were like, whoa, who is this guy?
Right, like, Democrats don't yell or raise their voice.
Ever since Dukakis got in that tank, man, it all just became just a fucking loose collection of pussies.
So fuck the cuck party.
Not even wet pussies, not even good pussies, just the driest.
Yeah, so dry.
And desert sand.
The thing that's so funny about the, because that like that initially cost him the election, being photographed with the helmet on his head.
It was the helmet that really
It was all about the helmet. Yeah. The Republicans are so good at that stuff, though. They're so good at optics and taking something that's fairly harmless and turning that completely against you.
And Democrats are so good at the bad thing that is rising above all the hostile.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
High roading.
Yeah. There's nothing good about the high road. No. The high road leads to
where we are.
Right. Somehow the high road leads to a valley, like a death valley, which is weird because you would think a lower elevation, but. Anyway, I don't know what
it's
I'm talking about.
It's a Mobius strip.
Yeah, right.
It just went in a circle, yeah.
Taking the high road sometimes sucks. Sometimes it's the long road is the high road.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was thinking about, like, this terminology that Michelle Obama so eloquently said, you know, when they go low, we go high. And there's nothing lower than literally grabbing someone's genitals, I think.
Right.
So how high do you, where, high would be a fist to the face of the person that did that, and that's not what we did. So. Right.
But it made, like, watching this documentary, I couldn't help but think, like, what happened in this man's childhood or his early life development that made him become so narcissistic, so full of vanity, yet so self-destructive?
Sounds like a comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it that does that?
There is a lot of parallels.
He's also, you know, a man of the people. I think he made that pretty clear. But he's a man of the people that also has an inner life that's, you know, flawed. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily. I don't know.
Pathologizing him, is it something to pathologize? I mean, is it just straight up? He's a sex addict. Is that?
I think
is that
so.
What's going on? Yeah,
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the fact that I mean he's been given copious opportunities to stop yet can't is indicative of there being a problem that is larger than his control.
Yeah, but I do think technology is a piece of it because. In the 90s, if you were this dude, what were you doing? Were you doing phone sex lines or were you just like...
Right, yeah, I get, that is a good point.
You're just jerking off and not having anyone know about it.
Yeah, it's not like he's actually going out and fucking these people.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? So the distance makes it somehow less of a crime. It's not even necessarily a crime.
Well, if you call yourself Carlos Danger, then it's a separate person.
Well, that's a crime against good taste.
That is very bad.
I mean, there's no law against that, especially now.
He's a Rachel Dolezal of danger.
Yeah.
Like, I had to make it ethnic for some reason.
As if the name Anthony Weiner wasn't like crude enough.
Okay, that's maybe why he's the way he is, Paco, if you really want to think about it. Yeah. A family like, he's like in his 40s. He's like 52. That's being called Wiener your entire grade school career.
Yeah, born this way.
It's going to turn you either into a comedian or a politician, I think.
That is true. There are a lot of parallels, wouldn't you say, Megan?
Between comedians and Anthony Wiener?
And politicians, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I would say... No, actually, yeah. Well, being a politician implies that you're trying to help people. Comedians will claim that they're just trying to, you know, make people laugh in a world gone mad. But really, all they want is fucking attention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I see the similarities.
Too. Right. I think Paul Begala said that politics is show business for ugly people. So
yeah, no, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so I mean, the if you're really good looking, you go to Hollywood. If you're not good looking, you go to DC.
Right, because you just want people to hear you.
Yeah,
is the same fundamental thing that is driving all of these people.
Communal narcissism. Have you heard that term?
No, what does that
mean? It's like it's a new
podcasting.
It's called podcasting. It's this new term in therapy for people that like I'm gonna save the world. It's a narcissism where you get off on being helpful. Like that is your, that's how you fill your trough.
That's so terrible. Yeah. Why would anyone? But that seems like the most chill way to be a narcissist.
It's not necessarily evil, but there's basically, I mean, altruistic, you know, symbols aren't necessary for yourself. It's like you're doing.
Dude, this is like okay, so then after the election, there's been like all this shit of like the left still can't help but pick everyone apart because there's this thing of like wear a safety pin, it means you're an ally, and then people being like fuck your safety pin. I'm a fucking safety pin. So then it's like no one can be it's like you're making it about you, and that is kind of true. You are making it about you. It's like, but this is a problem too. It's like whether you're a narcissist that's helping people or, you know, you're still helping people, at least.
Right,
you know?
The petty infighting has just really amplified after the fucking election.
And I was just...
Yeah. I mean, sure, wearing a safety pin is lame, right? Mm-hmm. But people wear lame shit all the time. Are we tearing each other down because everybody's dressing in fucking Forever 21?
1977 punks were very good allies. That's basically what it's coming down to. But it's like... It was great to see the right kind of tear itself apart during, like, the conventions and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I loved seeing all these people turning on Trump back a couple months ago, and now they're all falling in line, and they're like Paul Ryan and fucking Ted Cruz and all these people. It was nice to see all that infighting happening.
Right, of course, because you thought that, you know,
I thought it was
GOP
just on the left.
Eating itself from the inside.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But now it's just led to the situation that we're in. Which is all kind of responsible for, I guess. I don't, not as much as Anthony Weiner.
I mean, being lulled into a false sense of security. I mean, there's so many people I knew who were just like, Hillary Clinton's going to be the president.
It's Dude, I fucking looked at Nate Silver and all that stuff. Right. And I was just like, yeah, I trusted these people.
Right. And also, but you can't believe polls. I mean, who is going to go on the record as saying that they're voting selfishly for a fucking monster?
Yeah.
No one really. That's something you do like privately, like jerk off.
Right. It was America's private jerk off. Right. And that has now resulted in a monster baby.
Us getting sprayed
with noxious cum.
With noxious Republican cum all over ourselves.
Yeah.
But
watching this today.
Yeah.
Because you watched it just today.
I watched it this morning. I've watched. This is my fourth time seeing this documentary.
Yeah. And like knowing everything you know now, was it harder to get there?
Absolutely. It was more cringeworthy than it's ever been this time because of now what I know about what happened after they stopped filming with Wiener and what I know about the FBI letter and the election and everything else. And I think I have, in a way, I have a lot more empathy for Huma this time around, too, than I did the first time I watched it.
I still had empathy for her in the beginning because she just seemed way cooler and smarter than him.
Sure.
In general.
I was empathetic with her, but I feel even more now.
Right, yeah.
I even grabbed a screenshot of that horrible moment where... Right before Anthony asks for the filmmakers to mercifully stop filming and leave the office when they just are staring at each other.
Right. Yeah, death stare.
And I was just like, oh, I just want to be like, run! Run, Huma, run!
Gentlemen's record.
Great courage to wait until all members have already spoken and then stand up and wrap your arms around procedure.
You vote yes if you believe yes. You vote in favor of something if you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order. It's Republicans wrapping their arms around Republicans rather than doing the right thing on behalf of the heroes. It is a shame. A shame.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Megan, was there a specific scene? You saw this one. How many? You saw this
one? I watched it once. Yeah.
And was there a specific scene that really stood out to you, where you're just like, "Come on"? Or
I mean, the opening, the scene in which you first see him and his family was pretty. She's just like just sitting there catatonic, and it wasn't even necessarily anything bad was happening, but then it just sort of. I mean, that becomes her like master status throughout the entire film. It's just like her catatonically staring into the void.
You're so right.
And then you sort of think about like Jesus Christ. Because she is an incredibly smart and talented person that, I don't know, just clearly feels stuck in this situation that she can't really control. Yeah. I mean, that's a bummer, sure. Yeah. But I mean, like the context of it now, you know, post-election. And the whole movie is basically about how people will, instead of, I don't know, looking at things logically, will allow their base desires or feelings to negate all of the good in someone or something. So Anthony Weiner should have been the mayor of New York. People wouldn't allow him to be the mayor of New York because he jerked off over the telephone, right? And like, I don't know. Hillary Clinton should have been the president of the United States, but people wouldn't let her become the president of the United States because, I don't know.
She won the popular vote.
Because her fucking husband jerked off in front of someone, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or emails, just like people would just say emails.
Just
like,
say emails.
Emails. I'm like, yeah, do you not have an email account? Do you? Right. Have you never forgotten your password? Have you never
For a lot of people, though, it's the lies and then it's the contemptuous, I'm over it. That was the past. I'm a new person now. I have a family. It's never going to happen again. Right. Oh, shit. Okay, it did happen one more time, but I'm over it. It's not going to happen again. Oh, crap. Okay, it did happen.
But then in the I understand like it makes him seem like a less trustworthy person, but this is also trustworthiness on an interpersonal level. This has something to do with his family, not his running of a city.
That is true.
I mean, JFK fucked around all the time. And
hell yeah,
still
he did.
Our God.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He got some of that Maryland,
right?
So. And also, God, like I'm sure that there's so much stuff that Trump has for sure done. That is,
I mean,
even
the confirmed stuff is bad enough.
He has three wives, and then like he cheated, I think, on each of them to get to the next one.
Yeah,
right.
So
and then he raped one of them.
Yeah.
Is this Marla?
Ivanka.
Ivanka. Okay. Yeah.
Ivana, sorry.
She said later. Yeah, Ivana. Whoops.
Ooh.
She said later, like, oh, I didn't mean to use that. It was like a euphemism or something.
Yeah, bullshit. Yeah.
I was like, come on. Nobody uses the rape word unless they really intend.
Well, unless it's like some fucking Reddit nerd who's saying fucking, you know, George Lucas raped my childhood or whatever. So wholly inaccurately.
The ending to the first Star Wars was a rape to my... But like, yeah, sexting versus racism, sexism, misogyny, you know, like...
Right, you got to pick your fucking battles, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Democrats are getting nailed for knowing how to use technology, and I feel like the people that are voting for Trump, like, don't even, like,
yeah, I mean, they think that we're all,
think a BlackBerry is, like, still going.
They think we're all just elitist fucks because we have, you know,
and
Apple products.
And I guess that's the other thing. I'm like, I guess I feel like maybe I am an elitist. And there's a difference between, no one likes to be condescended to.
No.
But I guess the definition is like, yeah, we made it out here and we live out here and it's an elite.
I think we're making
elitism doesn't have to be the worst thing.
You're working through some things right now, George.
I feel like elitism doesn't have to be like,
we're here by choice. Yeah. I mean, the reason why Donald Trump is the president-elect of the United States is because a bunch of people who never left their hometowns made it so.
Yeah, this is one of the things. I was like, if we can't have free community college for people, could we do kind of the equivalent of like birthright, but it's like, leave America at least once for like a month and then come back, even if you go to Canada.
Or just leave just your leave. County.
Yeah. Just get the fuck out of America at least once and we'll get you a passport. And, you know, there's got to be something. I feel like when I think about the mentality that is happening, I really think like anyone who's like, get to know someone who's not just like you. And I guess that is the accusation that's being thrown at the left is like, you didn't get to know the working class people. I'm like, no, we kind of still do, though. I mean, we kind of get it. It's not that we are unwilling. And I say we. I shouldn't say we. I should just say me. I'm going to stop saying we because clearly did not represent anyone when it came to any of this stuff. But yeah, but I do think like that's the thing. Like people, yeah, these people that have never, I don't know why we're obligated to be empathetic to people that have fucked us all. So I don't know.
You're not obligated at all to be empathetic to anyone. Yeah. You don't want to, but I feel like,
I guess now I sound like a right wing person. That's exactly the logic of someone who's like, I don't need to care about gay marriage. You know, that's exactly the same logic.
I understand, you know, why these people feel the way that they feel. They're frustrated. They feel like their country's abandoned them, etc. But they're operating from such a place of flawed logic that I don't have to respect it because there's no logic there. I can understand it, but I don't respect it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's just because I have the ability for complex thought, unlike them.
This is such a, yeah, it's such like a weird, it goes, keeps going these circles, I think, sometimes of like, I'm like being told to like listen to people that would never listen to me. So
Right, exactly.
It's problematic.
Although, I mean, You have the ability, though, to listen to other viewpoints and to calculate and to think about it and to sit on it and come up with your own best guess and your, you know, a smart choice. You
kind
know what
of.
I'm saying? Like,
I still
you should be able to.
I still didn't know, like, what most of the L.A. ballot measures were about.
But you could have if you had done the work.
Yeah. I spent one evening just, like, doing it.
Yeah, well, that's
Googling.
On you. That's that's doing the
work.
Well,
did you vote in for LA County or
no?
Were you voting for SF?
Yeah,
still?
SF. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a bunch of random. I'm like, I'm so used to Bay Area things, I don't even know.
And by vote, you mean not
Yeah.
But I think so. One thing the doc I don't think does a good job on is for one is like really getting into what makes Anthony Weiner who he is. Like,
you're provided with no backstory at all. Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Just him in the moment.
Yeah. And I think it would have been nice to have heard a little bit more, like, of his backstory, what makes him tick, what's his thinking process.
Why he went into politics.
Why he would go into politics. Mm-hmm. And, like there's a point, I'm skipping way ahead here, but I think it's outside of a deli when
thing.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little later, but there is I think a good theme for this entire doc, there's a guy outside the deli goes, "Why didn't he just walk away?" Mm-hmm. Like that to me is like what I want to scream at this documentary the entire time. It's like, just walk away.
Yeah.
Anthony,
but that's what makes it like another documentaries that you like is like someone who's so monomaniacally obsessed with something.
Yeah.
Right.
And like those are the kind of docs
right.
we enjoy.
Yeah, you're right.
We enjoy that kind of hubris when it doesn't affect the whole world and make it terrible.
He can't walk away from anything though. It's clear that he has some sort of OCD. I mean, he can't stop running.
Yeah.
And he also can't stop jerking off over the telephone.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's a lot of things he can't stop. Right. And I mean, that's what makes him passionate, I guess, probably what made him a good congressman. However, it is also career suicide. Mm-hmm. There's another aspect to all of this is the, like, I hate the media. I really hate the media.
Yeah.
especially news media, right. You know, and like they also don't really go into. I would like to have known more about like how the news media affected him.
And well, I think like the first 5 minutes sort of like think you seem like it's gonna get set up that way, and like the fact that the logo for the movie is scrolling through all of those like CNN fonts, uh-huh. and like in, like different media fonts and yeah. like BuzzFeed things and whatnot. Yeah, it does seem like. Another, it's a documentary that criticizes the media. It's like, well, like exactly, it's like just the snake swallowing its own tail.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the media creates a sense of false indignation to distract people from the actual problems mm-hmm. or from the realities of the situation.
As someone who works in the media, Megan, how do you feel?
Unfortunately, like now more than ever.
Yeah. Have you been doing a lot of? Have you done any paid writing about like what the fuck is happening right now, or?
I mean, I'm working on something right now about how no one can fuck right now, but that's just because, you know, it speaks to the needs of my employer.
Oh, and who are you writing for?
Well, my employer in this regard being Vice.
Yeah.
And by the need, I mean, it's like speaks to what their target demographic wants to hear, which is, you know,
something
about
racy.
Fucking.
Yeah.
People can't fuck. People can fuck. People right. try not to fuck.
Yeah.
I wrote sort of like a, you know, what do we do kind of post. But they didn't want it.
Well, also, I mean, you've been writing for them for a while, and the critique that a lot of people have leveled against Vice had to do with maybe the guy who's not there anymore, right?
Gavin McInnes. Right.
Being
one
very, like, and who is also
who became
basically a troll also.
He's right? become a troll and, he's like, a huge alt-right guy.
Yeah. And, like, the alt-right actually does play a lot into... The alt-right's not even really talked about in this documentary, but yeah. the alt-right kind of...
This may have predated the fucking existence of the alt-right. That's just a brand new movement.
Yeah, 2015 era. Like, I never look at Breitbart. I never look at that shit. But
right.
there was a time where people, like, you know, were very critical of Vice. And then now I feel like they've all forgotten about it. So, I don't know.
Well, there's a time, too, when, like, the only voice for those people was, like, the Drudge Report.
Right.
And now there's Breitbart and there's Alex Jones. And there's just, like, all of these people who are willing to, you know, like... echo their indignation.
I didn't know really very much about Alex Jones before. I thought he was more of like a truther guy before all this stuff, or what was his?
Yeah.
He's a conspiracy guy.
Absolutely. He's a conspiracy theorist,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He's a conspiracy theorist that Trump personally called to thank after he became the president of the United States for all of the great press he got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All the good help he got from that fucking whack job.
Yeah.
But, boy, yeah, so...
oh, boy.
So we sidetracked into...
But it's like this, I mean, this doc, he resigns in 2011, and he runs for mayor in 2013, so they started filming, they must have started filming 2012, 2013-ish, mm-hmm. so yeah, that was going to be kind of pre-alt-right, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no way they could have predicted. And, you know, also, like, really, there was no room, there was no need for any Republican stuff in this documentary. It was like, Anthony Weiner does a really good job all by himself of self-immolation.
Of fucking himself.
Yeah. But
both figuratively and literally.
Where'd you grow up, Megan? Are you a Midwestern person? Or
no, I'm from California.
I gotcha.
I'm from the Central Coast, 5 hours north of here.
And did you grow up in like a republic? Was it very Republican where you're from?
No, yeah. I mean, I'm not on speaking terms with my family right now because there was a Make America Great Again flag flying in front of my childhood home.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
A lot of Thanksgivings are going to be awkward for people.
Yeah,
no, I had to make the call where I told my mother that I'm not coming home for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, it's just her response is that, like, you know, it's... just, you know, everybody's entitled to vote the way they want, et cetera. Yeah. And I was like, well, everybody's also entitled to basic human rights and dignity. So your argument is fallacious.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, you're coming home for Christmas? And I was like, I can't answer that. She's like, well, it's politics. It's not, politics doesn't have anything to do with the holidays. And I was like, well, Christmas is all about the Christ child and we don't give a fuck about him. So again, your logic is not as fallacious. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was foaming at the mouth and I hung up on her.
Have you talked to family members, Paco, that are... have had political disagreements?
No, my family is, they're pretty liberal, you know, and I don't. If I know that that's the way they lean, I just don't.
You just don't even get
it. I used to,
yeah,
but I don't.
I never did in the past. I mean, my, you know, I grew up, like shit kicker territory, grew up in the middle of an orchard and everything.
Yeah.
My family's always been, well, now, when I was growing up, my parents were Democrat. Like, my mom voted for Nader in the 80s and shit. But my grandparents were always like Reagan Republicans.
Sure.
You know, all my heroes have always been cowboys, kind of bullshit.
Central Valley, California. I mean, that's Republican. That's like Reagan territory.
Yeah. So we would never really discuss it. My grandmother emailed me the other day. And was like, oh, I heard you talk to your mother. You shouldn't be so upset about this. You know, like we had to, we had to live with Obama for 8 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but life's about to get much harder for people like me, and I can't just get over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't have this discussion with
you. So they had to suffer through 8 years of maybe the best president we've ever had.
Yeah, I really wanted to say, suffered under Obama. Yeah.
What did you suffer with?
Oh, we saw him fist bump someone.
No, we saw a black guy on TV and like not holding a football.
I can't believe it.
Oh, fuck. Will someone think of us?
Yeah, I was wondering like if the NFL and NBA and like all like decided to like boycott or like take a general strike or something, then maybe people would care about
race relations in America.
Like I like them on TV. That's
dude,
it.
if the NBA, if all the players had a strike, the billions of dollars would get lost. That's a huge sign.
Yeah, but also like who's that coach Popovich? He came out with a pretty good statement. I mean, I feel like the NBA coaches are slightly more woke than the other sports
NBA
people.
Are you kidding?
So it's like, and except for that one guy who like that owner.
Oh, the Clippers owner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so did Steve Kerr, and so did the Detroit Pistons coach and Popovich. They all came out.
But NFL makes so much more money than three times the NBA.
And the NFL coaches are just a day away from heart attacks. They don't even get involved in that shit.
No, it's America's game for reason.
I watched that 30 for 30 broke, that one about players going broke, and it just kind of showed like the salaries and all the insanity.
Yeah
But anyway, that was the way I pulled out. I know nothing about sports, so I just knew that one fact. The NFL is the most
that
money making
franchise. Amazing, because people with $200 million players are bankrupt because they don't know what to do with all that fucking money.
Yeah.
But so where did you get your start in comedy? Like
Angeles, yeah.
So you moved to LA and then was like, I want to be a comedian, or did you have...
No, I didn't have any desire to be a comedian when I moved to Los Angeles. Not to say that I still have any desire at all to do it. But I don't know, it's just like something to do instead of watching TV until you die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always treat it like a hobby. I still do.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. What year? What are we talking? What year?
I've been doing it for like 6 years, maybe.
So 2010-ish?
Ish, yeah. 6 or 7 years.
From the heart of the
track?
Central Valley to...
Right.
straight to Hollywood to follow your hobby?
To chase my... I mean, before I started doing comedy, I was only working in a fucking video store. I mean, I had no aspirations as a human being at all.
Yeah.
I think working in a video store is a noble aspiration.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, not a good video store. Oh,
right,
the Video Hut on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
Where everything was like $1.99 per rental.
Yeah.
And the best thing that we had in the store was Point Break.
Oh, wow.
If that's any indication of the quality.
That is.
It's still a Catherine Bigelow movie. It's good.
You know, that was the wokest thing we had in there.
Point Break is
Point
woke.
Break, and then Room Full of Pornography, et cetera. Yeah.
Do a new Point Break where they have a Trump mask on instead of a
Hello.
Nixon mask.
Hello. Viral video. Much.
Yeah. Remaking.
Have either of you guys? George is in a bad place right now. Have either of you two worked on a political campaign or in politics at all?
No.
I did like a bit of the protesting in college. Mm-hmm. That's how old it was. I'm like, I did a little protesting.
Like some kind of like not my president shit.
Before that,
not my president.
I worked on like a group that was against 187, which was the anti-immigration. Proposition under Pete Wilson that passed.
Right.
It actually passed. And then that was sort of like one of those things. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't put my energy into these things because people are unreliable. Because
everything seems so futile.
Yeah. And like that was like long enough ago where I'm like, maybe I'll just focus on the arts and that's how I'll change things. And that seems to be also flawed
futile.
Logic. Yeah.
Everything seems futile.
It's been like, I'm just like, you know, I was really critical. There was a Malcolm Gladwell podcast. You don't need to listen to it, but he was talking about Colbert and like how there's this flaw of like political satire is not really changing anything because it can be viewed like Colbert could be enjoyed by the right as much as by the left for opposing
reasons. Yeah, just depending on how you watch it. Yeah.
So then it was just Malcolm Gladwell being really patronizing about, like, maybe satire is not as good as it was when Jonathan Swift did it. And I'm being like, fuck you. And now I'm like, maybe he's right. He's like, I don't know, like me and my friends and our memes are not, like, getting shit done, you know, clearly.
Not making a dent.
I mean, I feel like the right did memes better this time. They had Pepe on their side. Like,
that is
true. Yeah, like, and then, like, fucking, yeah, when that Pepe thing came out, I'm like, someone in the Clinton campaign is fucking up real bad right now, I think. I mean, in my opinion, because it's like, it just sounds like the PMRC or someone, like, being like, oh, there's a satanic panic. It's like, right. No, it's like, it's cartoon by a pretty chill dude that I kind of know, so
right,
you know, I do think, like, they really master that. They're better at trolling, and the left hasn't figured out how to troll as well, and I guess that's the high road when we're talking about the high road, but that was a weird tangent. How did we get on that?
Asked you about politics.
Politics.
You've worked in politics.
Yeah, I haven't, like, done any door knocking. My girlfriend did some calls for Hillary. Like, the weekend right before, like, some phone banking, which was terrible. Like, she ended up with a bunch of Florida people. They're just like, I'm not voting for a criminal.
And, yeah, like, hang up.
I'm pretty sure Trump's going to be a criminal real soon. Like, there's some, like, definite war crimes, if nothing else, coming up. But
I guess he's already a criminal if you consider, like, tax evasion fraud, to be criminal, which it is.
Yeah, a lot of things where it's like, she did that, and then I volunteered to drive people to the polls, but I guess in my neighborhood, I registered with this kind of like Ubering people to the polls, and no one called me. But I guess it's maybe just because I think our polling place was the Steve Allen Theater. It's pretty easy to get to.
Right.
That's my theory.
It was kind of cool in the doc to see some of the, like, you know, the office work, and like there was a scene where he is there calling for to get money, and he's kind
of Anthony's mother, right? Yeah, that's in there too.
Yeah, and then Huma is making phone calls, and he's like, "Well, let me do it." And she's like, "Let me close these deals." And then you see her going, "How was your anniversary? Oh, how was your son's bar mitzvah?"
The personalization.
She's so good at it. Yeah. And she's like, "How do you recognize my voice? It's been a year." And, like, you're like, "Oh shit, she's an animal." This
is
good.
Like, her doing fundraising, right? Is it fundraising or just getting bigger people?
It was fundraising. And you start to see kind of their relationship a bit, where you're like, wow, she's the powerhouse here, and this guy's just kind of a dweeb.
Women are generally more competent than men at a lot of things, and unfortunately,
arguably too competent, which is why no one lets us do anything.
Yeah.
That is true. I've worked for a few Republicans. I've done a lot of work in politics quite a bit. And
For Republicans?
But when I was younger, when I was like 16, I worked for Republicans. Because where I grew up, there were no Democrats. So you had to work for Republicans if you want to get into politics. But recently, I moved back to Michigan to work for a Republican who was trying to run, and Pete Hoekstra. I don't know if you guys remember Pete Hoekstra, who's basically the devil. He was a far right wing congressman who wanted to be the governor, so he quit. Governor of Michigan, so he quit. But the guy I was working for was gay, pro free. He was pro choice, pro environment, open gay Republican in this very, very, very alt right wing conservative district in Michigan. So it was like a losing.
It was just a fantastic.
Yeah, so looking at the people in this documentary, his helpers, who their faces are always just so like, ugh, that's how I kept. I remember how I felt working for this guy.
Oh yeah, that, like, his inner circle. Those guys are pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're young. Yeah, really. That was the other thing. Like, his campaign manager looked to be like 25 or something.
I was kind of worried that there was some weird thing going on with them. Were you picking up on that at all, or just like in the car?
Of course, yeah.
Just like, I'm like,
when he's doing the Rodney Dangerfield jokes,
I'm like, don't shit where you eat, bro. It's like,
he's too much of a coward to actually physically do anything. Right?
Oh, but interesting. That's an interesting viewpoint.
It's part of his thing.
Yeah.
That's a really, I want to examine that a little bit. I never thought about that. Like, he's a coward.
Well, yeah, like, he doesn't meet Sidney Leathers in person ever.
Right, it's the distance thing. I mean, also technology has made it easier for us to, I don't know, examine or indulge our base desires, be they sexual or, like, in terms of trolling. Think of how many people love to anonymously just comment on the most hateful shit on YouTube or tweet disgusting things at people. It's just the anonymity makes it so it's not like you're actually doing it. There's no repercussions, really. The only thing that didn't work in Wiener's favor is that there became repercussions, whereas he assumed there would be none. Nobody would find out.
Mm-hmm. Like, even, I don't know what you have to do to accidentally send a picture of your dick to Twitter. Like, that's...
Yeah, you just have to be 48 years old or whatever.
That's what I guess is the problem.
Well, Draymond Green just did it. He's 25 or whatever. The basketball player for the world. I mean, it's like, is it a mistake or is it on purpose? Was it like, can you accidentally purposely do something?
Right.
You must be able
subconsciously, you accidentally, I don't know.
I feel like with hyper competitive people, dudes, they're like, I got to get into this dick game. Like, I can't have someone else's dick out there and mine not be.
Right.
That has to be something, right?
I'm so like distracted. That
has to be a thing.
Right. I don't know. I mean,
I've never since. I don't think I've ever taken a picture of my genitals, actually, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I know what they look like.
Uh-huh. The rest of the world doesn't need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I once was talking to this girl online.
Okay. And this is going.
She was like, she's younger than I am, but we were just talking. I wasn't flirting or anything, but she was like, she meant this complete. She was honest about this. She meant it with sincerity. She's like, if you want, you can send me a dick pic. Like it was like,
fine.
Exactly. All
right.
She was just like, oh, if you want, you can just send me a. I was like, I don't know. I don't want to send you a dick pic.
But she left it open as wasn't encouraging it. She's like, look, I feel like I know dudes like you and you want to.
It was more on the positive side. It was kind of like, if you want to call, it was okay. Like, if you want to call me tomorrow, you can. Oh. But instead it was like, if you want to send me a dick pic, you can. Like, she had just like a collection where she's like, I'll consider it. Kind of thing.
Right. I guess it's different.
I was like, what the fuck? I was like, that is insane that it's that cavalier.
There's a really flippant attitude about it now. I don't think anybody considers like the long reaching repercussions or implications of having your genitals in the cloud. Nobody thinks about the permanence of your dick being in the cloud. Like, oh, you're horny right now, so you're going to send this girl a picture of your dick. But it's not just... This isn't a 30-second thing. She's not going to just look at it and it's going to disappear.
No.
Your dick is going to be in the cloud in perpetuity since the first time you send your dick to the cloud.
I just want, like, the class and the effort that it took for, like, a Cynthia Plaster caster to just get in person and just take a mold. It's more accurate and specific.
Do you think that your wife will choose to stay with you over helping Hillary Clinton get elected president?
Look, I know there's been a lot of damage done, collateral damage, because of the decisions I made in my private life.
And you're not answering the question.
I have to make it up to, and I'm going to do the very best I can.
Do you think your wife will choose you?
Can I get my answer here?
I'm sorry.
But as far as Huma goes, she's one of the most talented people I've ever known in public life, and I think anyone's ever worked with her knows that.
Do you think they should ask her to make that kind of a choice?
I really got to go.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The Anthony Weiner story is not new. It is an old story.
Right. Yeah, Gary Hart, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about monkey business for a second. I got to say, like, that chick was hot, though. I remember being, like, a kid and being like, she's really hot.
I mean,
comparatively.
That's what I mean.
Let's get into Sydney Leathers. Right. I think this is pretty much the time to get into that.
Yeah. Oh, Sydney.
Or not. I phrased that wrong, too.
I mean, but also, she wants you to get into it. Corollary, fuck her.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Pineapple.
Right.
Who wants a slice of pineapple? I can't. That scene where his little helper guy, you know, and I worked in politics. I hate those button-up tie little fuckers, those guys that went to Harvard and they were born on third base and thought they hit a triple kind of thing.
Right.
Like, they're so sanctimonious and so, like, ugh. Even the liberal ones are just gross. Mm-hmm. I hate those guys. But he's, like, sipping on his fucking Jamba Juice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I've got three plans to get you back to the office because apparently she... And I was,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah,
that whole
for.
Scene is so gross. Because, like, he's with his little kid at the fountain. And it's the first time they mention Sidney Leathers. And then he mistakenly on camera calls her Pineapple.
Right.
And then he says, oops, I'm on camera. I should never have divulged her code name.
Pineapple.
You guys, you remember that scene?
Yeah, I do.
I didn't remember the pineapple part, but yeah. The guy who's panicking the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to give him bad news. And he doesn't want to hear this, but
he killed the messenger. Yeah, like the singularity of his focus where he was just saying how he's going to fucking destroy this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Within
an hour.
And then Anthony is like, if there's a lot of news people out there, surround her with signs and shout her down.
Right.
Like, don't touch her, but shout her down. It's just like, oh, man, you don't learn. This guy has not learned anything. That's his first impulse. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like win, competition, win.
Well, it's also, I mean, just this like blind level of, it's not necessarily faith. Maybe it's, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, like. Delusion, I guess.
That's a good word.
That there's a way out of this.
Right.
There's a fucking the woman's standing outside your campaign headquarters. You can't just un-get that woman outside. You know what I mean? Like, will not win. Why keep trying? Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
I think that's part of it too. It's like, look how smart I am. Look how I can get out of this problem. Right. Now I've created this problem. Look how I can get out of that.
Right. It's just like piggybacking from problem to problem.
Yeah, and those kind of guys, they create these problems in part, I think, because they're so competitive that they want to be able to like figure it out how to get out of that. And a lot of times they take people fucking down with them, you know?
Well, I guess this goes back to this thing of we're saying earlier that maybe you or I wouldn't care and would vote for him to do this, but it's just indicative of, it is like a character issue, I guess, right? It's not just that he has this compulsion. It's that he's so willing to let everyone go down with him in a way, right? You know, like, so even though it's very much like Clinton, I think in some ways, right? It's like, it shouldn't be a big deal, but the fact that it's a big deal is just more about the lying and the subterfuge aspects of it, I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, like, it's hard because it's like a puritanical country, so we have to get over that. But then it's like, well, this guy clearly has issues that have to do with control.
Right.
It's a control thing. So that is troubling, and I guess that's also what would have turned a lot of people off in back then.
I think you're assuming that people looked more into it than they did.
Right, maybe they just knew barely anything. They just didn't
have to know anything. It's just, this guy went against his marriage vows.
Yeah.
So he bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, you're giving... Whenever I give the American people too much credit, it's really, I'm doing a disservice to myself. There's no point.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was reminded of that scene. There was things where he does that I like. Like, there's one, like, basically he goes into that one talk. I guess he's in Staten Island or something. He's somewhere where everyone's against him, and then he somehow kind of brings it around.
Pulls that,
I'm just like, that felt like a nice little moment, and like, oh, he got me on his side again, just like he got them on his side again by just being like, we're not talking about the real issues, you know? And so I do kind of like those moments. Or I like when he gets in the deli. Let's talk about the deli. Like, he gets harassed by a Hasidic Jew, right? Who, I guess we missed part of the conversation, but the first, I guess it just looks like a screaming match.
Right.
About, like, you know, religion. But then I guess the guy also called Huma. She's like, he's married to an Arab. And then, as John Stewart points out, he's like, oh, yeah, fuck that guy, after all. You know? Like, oh, yeah, that was legitimate. But it didn't look, you didn't get all of that when you're watching it the first time around. But, you know, those are the moments where I'm like, I don't want him to totally fail.
Also, the guy didn't call Huma an Arab until the end of
the
yelling match. Yeah. And, all, you know, talking about, like, the media and, I don't know, how fucked they are inherently. I mean, how many news sources do you think included that line where it's like, that line crystallizes it, makes it clear why the argument is taking place in the first place. This guy's just a fucking xenophobe. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to include that context because you have the salacious clip of them getting in this fucking violent argument in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, The Daily Show will play it, but yeah. That's the only kind of shit The Daily Show plays. The Daily Show isn't MSNBC or CNN.
Right, right. Makes you wonder if Jon Stewart was still on The Daily Show, if he could have had any more influence on the most recent election.
I think Jon Stewart is a sanctimonious dick. But whatever.
Well, there's that.
But people seem to like him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Let's blame Trevor Noah on this.
Yeah. There we go.
And we're looking for somebody to blame. Let's blame him.
Let's go down to Trevor. So like, and that's where outside that deli, outside that shot is where that guy was like, why doesn't he just walk away?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like why?
Yeah.
You know, and that's
true too. Yeah.
That's when I saw that. I'm like, oh, that to me is, there's a reason why the filmmakers left that in. Cause it's like, that is like a driving theme to this documentary. It's like, why doesn't he just dot, dot, dot? There's so many.
Or even make this documentary. Like, why does he like
right
talk about it like a couple years later, be like, I was the guy that did this stuff. And like, is it a way to try and own it and just try to like have some control over his narrative somewhat?
I think you need a fucking therapist to go to like answer some of these things. It's like, why would he allow cameras? And why would he run for mayor? Why would he keep sexting? Why wouldn't he not walk away?
Yeah.
I think because he doesn't think that he's doing anything wrong.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, he thinks that he's being persecuted. Well, he knows that he's being persecuted, let's say, for his choices. But he doesn't necessarily think that they make him less of a person.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like.
He does kind of say that in that meeting you're talking about where he says, you know, like, you know, I've made mistakes, but this doesn't mean that I can't govern.
Right.
Basically.
And I mean, yeah, they show footage of him, you know, lying at press conferences. But in the context of the documentary, he doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they ask him, you know, specificity about how many people he was texting, et cetera. I mean, he says, you know, I don't. Fucking, he just gets frustrated. He's like, I don't know, he only six or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not, he's not still lying. I think he wanted to, I don't know,
he's embarrassed.
Clear the air. He's clearly very embarrassed, but it's not like he allowed them access because he wanted to just, I don't know, paint an inaccurate picture. Mm-hmm.
I think it seems to me if every politician had their skeletons and closets revealed, there would be no one working in D.C.
Like, right.
There would be no one left. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But unfortunately, it seems to happen to liberals.
Care more about Democrat? I mean, yeah, the president-elect of the United States is a fucking rapist, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Why is it okay for him? There's a difference between texting a picture of your dick and grabbing someone's pussy, and it's a huge fucking difference.
Yeah.
And especially that, you're texting, obviously, if you're texting somebody, you have their consent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I shouldn't have probably done this. I did click on a link that had a bunch of the exchanges between Sidney Leathers and Anthony Weiner, and yeah, there's consent. It's consensual.
Right.
The things that they're saying to each other, poorly spelled.
Naturally.
Consensual, yeah. I don't know. Sidney Leathers, there's an article in New York Magazine I read about her also right before we came over here. It tries to be somewhat sympathetic to her, I think, but also pretty with like, I'm like, really? Is that really what was going on with you? Like she was claiming to be really depressed and suicidal when this whole thing happened. What does seem true is like she was asked to leave her job. She had like a job at a law firm and they're like, you should probably not come in the next forever. So that did happen. So she kind of paints it like, well, then I had no choice but to do porn and get fake boobs. Like I think
that's
there was
not,
other options. There.
Yeah. That's a lot not of a other, fucking binary.
It's not, yeah, exactly. It's not a given that would be what you do. So she is, pretty trashy in this thing, and it's not—it's hard to be really
to find her to be a sympathetic character.
Yeah, I mean, because even she—it was interesting when she tries to nail him at the McDonald's thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's going so hard after because of is it Stern that makes her do it? Is it like some radio person who's like, why don't you go down there? You should just go down there. We'll get something out of it. We'll exploit you even more.
Right.
And then when he does manage to just like slip away from her, she's just like, who runs away from like a 23-year-old? I'm like, well, you are the 23-year-old in question. Like, everyone should be running away from you. It's bad. It's a bad scene.
Also, you're no longer just a 23-year-old.
Exactly. Like, so she tries to kind of be like, what? I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, all these people are using you to get at this dude also.
Right, exactly.
So,
man, the McDonald's scene in this documentary is just, it's of Greek
mythology.
You deserve a break
today. Yeah.
It was like... It's incredible. It almost
the Greek mythology of escaping a McDonald's. To go deliver your concession speech.
It's just the how
Agamemnon.
How far the dude has fallen. Yeah. Like it's insane. Right. Like the fact that like he is apologized and then he has gone. You know he's it's the self immolation that I was talking about. It's that it's watching someone just. Career suicide. It's insane. And then thinking that running through a McDonald's to get away from a 23-year-old porn star who you've been sexting so that you can deliver your concession speech.
Right. You've already lost.
You've lost so much.
You've lost on so many levels. Yeah,
he got 5% of the votes in New York City. He didn't even come close. Right. You know, and like, it's just too...
Gary Johnson numbers, yeah.
Yeah, it's too much. It's so wild. That's what makes this such a fascinating documentary.
Right.
It's just like, you can't believe that the cameras are there. Mm-hmm. You know, right. And then Huma's like, please turn the light off in the car.
She has had enough.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible to watch. And that's why I think this documentary is going to be around for a long time in people's minds, you know.
Imagine his kid growing up and watching this documentary at some point.
Oh, man.
This kid's going to be like, there's a doc about my dad that you probably have all seen.
And there's a couple other scenes that really stand out for me. One of them is when he's preparing his apology, where he was like, he's like, I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
Right. Yeah.
I apologize. Like, he's like preparing his heartfelt apology.
An artist prepares. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild to watch. It's like, just speak from your heart, you know? And there's also this quick moment where they show him playing hockey. And he's getting destroyed on the net. And they overlay it with press stuff about talking about him and like how like his campaign is not doing well. And
yeah.
Right.
When I think about a scene in this, I think about the scenes like after it's pretty clear he's not going to win, he's still going through all the parades and he's just like, I got to be in all the parades. I got to represent every ethnicity. I got to kiss all the babies.
Still has to be a man of the
people. Yeah, he's just got to still do it. And like you do not know what's happening? Have you so deluded yourself about this? I think the self-delusion and the hubris is really just like so what is the train wreck that you can't look away from in this. And yeah, but that's like, him just, and he still has supporters to some degree when he's doing all that stuff. People are still like,
sure,
giving him hugs and be like, I don't care what you did. I don't care what you did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
I mean, 5%, I feel like that's not for nothing.
Yeah. It's New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
New York's quite large.
It is.
I don't know if you knew that.
I know you were just there, humble bragging.
Yeah, well, did I see Billy Joel at MSG? Yeah, I did.
Whoa.
Nice. Oh, right. I thought you meant actually the Chinese food. completely sidebar thing. Were you doing something with Terry Zwigoff, or what were you doing hanging out with Zwigoff a little bit ago?
Oh, he's got a show on, or he has a pilot for Amazon.
Oh, cool.
I didn't do anything on it.
You
I
were just chilling.
Yeah.
I just saw it. Okay.
With the Zwei?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's not really relevant other than.
That's a doc. He's a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crumb is still one of my all-time favorite docs. I love that fucking doc. Man, Charles, that dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fairly heartbreaking stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad Santa 2, looking forward to it.
Oh, man, it's Bad Santa 2 season, baby. Weinstein's won't stop. The reign of terror.
and the New York Post, there's so many puns.
Oh, the New York Post, yeah.
They love their puns.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a gift. Wiener as a name is a gift.
Right.
For a low-level
pun
person.
For the long-suffering New York Post. Yeah. Finally, they catch a break.
Well, as someone who does still like puns regardless, I'm just like, pleased. It's pretty bad. So now they're separate. We're 2016, end of 2016. Mm-hmm. They're not together. They haven't been together for a little while. I'm sure Hillary was probably, giving her some advice at some point about how to handle this. I guess it was different when he had a more promising career than she did. And then she totally had the more promising career by the end of all this stuff.
She has the most powerful career.
Yeah. I mean, she's closer to like the center of everything.
Right.
She's basically while... And she came up through being an intern in the White House, too, and all this stuff. So she just gets like... She's getting the worst of it, I'm sure, right now, because she's got no job, no husband. I don't know why that seems that sounded wrong.
Like, what, Megan, was there something? Was there something in this doc that you learned that you were didn't know before that you're surprised at? Was it something? Did you know much about Anthony Weiner? And
I mean, I knew like the base level amount of what had happened. I didn't know with specificity. But also didn't necessarily need to know with specificity. If you know half the story, you know the entire story. You just know that this guy can't stop jerking off over the phone, and that somehow makes him an unviable political candidate.
Well, yeah, I didn't remember most of what had happened here, but then I really didn't see that video that made him famous in the first place.
That was pretty impressive.
That was the thing where I'm like, I do like him now, and that made me like him, and then just watch him like fall apart after that. So that was...
No, you like him as a politician. Mm-hmm. You just don't like him as a person. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, that's probably why he couldn't be a politician. You have to like them as a person. People like Donald Trump as a person.
I don't understand that at all.
You know? A lot of people.
I don't understand why anyone thinks, like, this is not... Like, I don't like elites. Here's a millionaire. Like,
right,
you know,
he's
like
literally sitting on a gilded
literal
throne.
Like fucking Scrooge McDuck in office.
I think it comes down to being badgered as a... like. At some point, when the bully is nice to you, you feel better. You like that bully better.
I do like when bullies like me.
Yeah. So if you're getting yelled at and screamed at all the time, and then finally they seem to have a heart and to have some sort of charisma, you're like, you know what? They're not so bad.
Right. Well, and it's also, they're not so bad to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Stockholm syndrome-y kind of thing.
Or it's just like, hey, you know, I'm not a fucking Muslim.
Yeah. You right. Know, yeah. I feel safe.
Right.
Yeah.
No one's coming after me.
No. As a white heterosexual male in this country, I'm doing pretty damn well.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, George.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think you're doing that well. I mean,
that is true, too.
I am helping you move a mattress tomorrow. So.
That is true. That is a good point. I mean,
maybe you should have changed your vote.
Yeah. Well, who knows who I voted for, Jill Stein?
Joel Stein, right? Okay.
Yeah, hello. Call back.
That guy.
That was a reference that Ivan and I would have made an hour ago. So. Mm-hmm.
Fucking Joel Stein. Is he still employed by Time? Does he still do Time Magazine stuff?
Yeah.
Fuck that guy, man. I don't know. Some stuff he's written is pretty good. I don't know. What, do you guys have a favorite politician?
A favorite politician?
Yeah, over the years, someone you're like, I really dig that guy. Or that woman. Gavin Newsom.
I like Bernie.
Oh, the Burns.
I like the Burn Man.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the self-identified socialist Jew who's 800 years old could never become the president of the United States of America, KKK. So.
Do you think when people say that he could have beaten Trump, do you believe that in the generals?
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Really. Well, I think in terms of the fact that, I mean, most people who voted for Trump didn't do it because they were, you know, xenophobic monsters. They were just willing to allow xenophobia be part of his platform while they were still trying to sort of protect their, you know, working class jobs and whatnot.
Which is not going to work.
So in that regard, I mean, yeah, it's not like all of Trump's constituents are Twitter eggs who are like writing anti-Semitic shit online. But yeah, I don't know. I can't. The more I think about it, the less I can think about it.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, people do certainly fucking hate Hillary just for existing, you know, having a pussy, and that's people have hated her for years, not just because of her pussy, but because of her fucking husband, et cetera, et cetera.
They really hate her.
So there's like, and that there's this whole history of hatred for this particular candidate that doesn't exist for Bernie Sanders, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, because like, who knew about this dude from Vermont forever? Who even is been to Vermont? So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What if I just said Trump right now and blew your best mind? So I was like, it's sort of like when people say, like, you know, Hitler had good aesthetics.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like, yeah, that's why this happened. That's basically what happened here. I'm trying to think of a politician I like everything about them. I don't know. I just like that Teddy Roosevelt looked like that.
Oh, yeah.
And he invented the teddy bear, and he's real into parks. I'm sure he did some other horrible shit that I don't know off the top of my head.
He got shot during a speech and kept speaking.
That guy's fucking bully. That's the bulliest dude.
That is a bully whip right there. Yeah.
If cyberbully meant more Teddy Roosevelt fans online, I'd be all for it.
Teddy Roosevelt was, he's dope, dude.
But then I was going to say.
Teddy Roosevelt was lit as fuck.
AF.
Randomly, I have a friend who went to college with Gabby Giffords. Mm-hmm. And when that shit happened, she was like posting about it online. I'm like, oh, fuck. That's like a real person that was like your friend.
Mm.
And that the shit that happened to her is like fucking awful. And the other people that actually got killed too is just fucking awful. But she, I just Googled her the other day and she's like doing all the, it's like James Brady, right? They went out and did all the anti-gun mm-hmm. lobbying mm-hmm. after, like, look what happened to me, yeah. you know? And fucking, I have another friend who had gotten shot in the head before and Whoa. Lived. So,
jeez.
Yeah, there's like, this took a weird turn. I'm just saying.
George, you know, don't shoot people.
Let me ask you this.
When I like politicians, don't.
Just, and Megan,
yeah.
if you guys were to have a fake screen name for your sexting, like Carlos Danger, what would you pick? What would be your screen name? Megan, do you want to go first? George?
This is a very difficult question.
Not easy. I'm just, yeah. I kind of assumed you already had one.
Oh, no, would, yeah, no, I've
I,
never...
I would just be Carlos Danger 94 because I like that year and I just want to pay tribute to the greatest sexter of all time,
right.
Carlos Danger.
I think mine would be Anderson Pooper.
All right, that works.
Yeah.
Anderson Pooper.
I mean, whatever I could come up with would be like sub-roller derby level pun type shit, so I'm not even going to bother.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I mean.
It'd be, I don't understand that reference. Sub.
Oh, roller derby, like, the magazine?
Like worse than a roller. Like, no, oh. roller derby girls who have like.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, those names.
Right, those fake names.
Yeah, yeah. like. I can't even come up with one off the top of my head, but yeah, they're all puns.
Right, yeah, so. I see. Yeah, they has to.
Like almost... Miss Andry or whatever, you know, like that kind of shit.
Oh, right.
That would be a good sexting name.
Miss Andry?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think that's good.
There you go. All right. Yeah, there you go. Done.
Well, I think on that, folks. I think we've reached our end.
I think we've reached a critical impasse as a country.
We're
as
done
a
with Wiener.
I think we've solved a lot here today.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I think we've
now I can sleep tonight. Now I can't. Now I won't just close my eyes and have them immediately open again.
Yeah. Now you're gonna be woke AF.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm too woke.
Are you? Can, can you be too woke?
I think so.
It's like you never go.
It feels like a, yeah.
Your eyes can never close
right,
again.
Right, it feels like a curse.
You can't fucking enjoy, like, it's Doctor Strange or anything.
Right, and, you can't enjoy anything.
And George was telling me this, I'm going to change the subject real quick, but George was telling me you also really enjoy Jesus Camp, the documentary.
Yeah, we asked you about this before doing the show. And
I love that
Jesus
documentary.
Camp,
yeah. Yeah, it's a fascinating look into a world I don't understand
I was
all.
About to ask you if you grew up in that kind of Christianity.
No, not really. I grew up kind of in, like, a godless household. So.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, I mean,
it's good in theory, but it also makes it very difficult to relate to other people.
That is true.
I was pretty godless. Mm. Yeah. I continue to be pretty godless.
And you're super relatable.
Yeah.
Relatable comedian, George Chen.
Yeah.
I went to a camp Calvary. I grew up super religious. Mm. So I went to like Christian camps like that. They're very frightening places. Yeah.
Well, the world's a frightening place.
It is, isn't it?
Getting scary all the time.
Group hug, guys. This is the sound of George looking anxious that there might be a group hug.
Carlos Danger.
Carlos Stranger Danger. All right, thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
No problem.
Yeah.
You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please subscribe, review, and rate.
For show notes or more information about George and Paco's appearances, visit supdocpodcast.com. You can send your corrections, questions, or comments to supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
We'd also like to thank Documentary News for their continued support. Please check out documentarynews.com.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @supdocpodcast.
This show is produced by Will Scovel and our theme music by David Siegel.